Virgin Radio.
Well, my next guest, James Ritchie, is a risk governance and safety expert with the Mindful Risk Group, and he says that often considered unsung heroes are whistleblowers, and they do play a pivotal role in safeguarding the integrity of businesses and communities, and rather than crucify them for speaking out, we should in fact be protecting and encouraging them in business, in all sorts of areas. James, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Jenny. How are you?
Very good, thank you. In fact, you may not be aware, well, you may well be aware of it, but the WA Police Force have an ongoing campaign at the moment asking people to anonymously dob in a drug dealer.
Wow, no, I certainly wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's a very strong campaign, and they are anonymous when they do so, and it's hopefully going to clean things up just a little bit. Tell us about why you think this is the case. It seems as though we're heading that way.
Yeah, look, I think it is an interesting space, Jenny, when you think about this concept of whistleblowing, because I think the Aussie cultural mentality is we don't like dobbers and we certainly don't like whingers, and so and at times can feel a little bit contra to the way that we're structured as a society. But I think, unfortunately, if you look at where corporate Australia has gone to and where certainly most large organisations in sectors such as aged care, disability and others, I think they're a really important part of that framework in order to really almost act like corporate conscience keepers on behalf of both society and organisations themselves.
Well, we do have examples, don't we?
Yeah, look, certainly you could think of any of the big industries without going into anything that's not already on public record. You could list off immigration, defence, certainly hospitals, banks, disability, even major infrastructure. They've all been subject to major sort of court cases or let's call it commission events where a whistleblower has brought information to light that's ultimately been viewed as in the public interest, and ultimately I think our society has been protected as a result of them blowing the whistle on either unethical or illegal conduct occurring in those sectors.
In those particular instances, would they have been able to do so anonymously, or were there repercussions if they were found out?
I think it depends, or it varies depending on the sector that they're in, but the majority of those cases in those industries that I've listed, they have been anonymous. But having said that, though, I think that the problem is that there's certainly a history in a lot of sectors, and I won't name names here, where people have blown the whistle and where they've actually been subject to really significant repercussions by either their employer or others. And I think as a result of that, there's a number of different bits of legislation now that have been either improved or strengthened to try and protect or, you know, prevent that from happening. Because I guess that, if you think about it from a personal perspective, why would you blow the whistle if you thought that your job was going to be on the line, or you know, you're going to have your reputation tarnished?
That's exactly right. And I'm sure that would be the reason a lot of people probably don't come forward with this information. There's probably heaps out there that people could be, when I say dobbing, whistleblowing on, and they are still feeling protected. Just getting away from it just a little bit for a second, I mean, perhaps the biggest whistleblower in the world has been Julian Assange.
Of course,
what an example. And he's been jailed forever. My God.
Yeah. I know. And then look, without getting into details, you could think about the Richard Boyle case locally, and then there's a number of others where it's certainly gone the wrong way. And I think bringing it back to the more positive angle, Jenny, I think in the era now where we live in elevated corporate expectations in terms of, you know, the community expects a lot more from government institutions, from listed entities, I think that it's actually a really important reputation protection measure for a big bank or a government department to demonstrate to the community that they are actually a good citizen. And
I agree.
And in the whole sort of ESG space now, which is becoming very big, which is environment, social and governance framework, it very much feels as though that's a really important plank.
Oh, yeah, without
a
doubt.
That they're demonstrating to their customers and potentially shareholders that they've got good ethics and morals.
Yeah, we all like to know that the people we've got up there making decisions are doing it for the right reasons. How do the whistleblowers get this information? I mean, they must have access to some of it. Yeah, and to prove it.
Yeah, well, look, I think it will depend, again, on sector and role, but I think, you know, you can imagine the generic sort of corporate example would be where you're a senior executive in an organisation, in a private sector or a listed entity, and you become aware of unethical or fraudulent or illegal conduct going on within the organisation. And depending on how you choose to respond to that would be potentially whether you end up being a whistleblower or you're potentially complicit in the next corporate scandal. And we don't have to look too far into weekly news cycles to see the latest, you know, corporate misconduct scandal or an unethical behaviour issue or something going on that really is not in the best interest of the public or the organisation.
What do you think needs to be put in place to sort of protect these people, to encourage them to give this information out? And who do they give it to?
Yeah. Well, in terms of protection, Jenny, is that the question?
Well, yes, I guess so. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are still holding back because they don't feel they're going to be safe by giving this information.
Yeah.
They've found it, they've got proof. Where do they go? To the police? Who do they go to?
Well, look, it's a really good question, and there's a number of different ways that they could go about it. So obviously a lot of organisations post 2020, particularly the big end of town, big government departments and certainly ASX-listed entities, they're required to have whistleblower policies in place within their organisation. And so there should be, I won't say is, but there should be an anonymous internal mechanism that allows them to report that potential unethical or illegal conduct and for them to be protected from reprisal, from demotion, from prosecution as a result of that. Yeah, that's unfortunately not the case in all organisations, but then more broadly, there's a number of different pieces of Commonwealth legislation, including the Corporations Act, that does offer really specific sections of protection for whistleblowers.
Mm. Well, it's going to have to be put in place, isn't it? Widespread, really. You are talking about the corporate world. We're talking about government, politicians, all that sort of thing. And, you know, the people that might be giving you that safety, I suppose, could be some people that are doing the wrong thing. You just don't know.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And I think that's probably why the societal aspect is important as well, because ultimately that unethical behaviour or that misconduct, that's going to impact all of us as a society, particularly if it's, say, the delivery of a government policy or a government service. So I would say that it's ultimately in all of our interests, because we want our communities protected and we want the government or the corporate services delivered in a way that are reflective of what the community needs.
Absolutely. How can it come about, though, James? I mean, what would it take? Is it legislation? Is it? What does it take
to actually really sort of drive that?
Yeah, well, to have that safety, have the safety angle there for people to be able to do it and feel they're anonymous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think look, the organisations we've seen, and they are particularly overseas, I will say, in jurisdictions, particularly in Europe, are probably the guiding light in that space at the moment. They seem to have created really good internal mechanisms which are actually linked to cornerstones of their corporate culture. So they view whistleblowing in a positive cultural way, in the sense that they do act as a corporate conscience keeper. There's absolutely no threat of demotion or action against the whistleblower, and it actually sort of drives a long-term cultural change within the organisation. So that's one way.
Yeah.
But then it's frustrating to say, but ultimately, you know, compliance does get driven by legislation, and so you could say legislation certainly has a really important role to play in that space. And if you're looking at other equivalent pieces that have come through in Australia in the last couple of years, particularly around things like modern slavery, I think that whistleblower protections or whistleblower mandates would need to live in that tranche of legislation that ultimately becomes part of a good corporate citizenship program. And if you're not meeting that standard, then you've effectively, you know, hung out to dry in a public sense would be the way I think you could look at it.
Yeah, well, let's just hope it does head that way, because, you know, the corporate world would benefit if they were being, you know, sort of ripped off somewhere along the line, or like you say, human slavery or terrible situations can take place, and they have been for many, many years and probably will continue to do so if it's not up to the public now to know that they feel safe by you know, try to help the crime leader, you know, people that are trying to stop this crime. It's like the drug situation in WA over here. You know, unless we start, you know, it may be someone living with a drug dealer, you know, that doesn't want that to continue. And, you know, they're going to take that chance and dob them in. That's exactly what should happen.
So, yes, agree.
So your group, sorry, the Mindful Risk Group, tell us what part you play in all of this and other areas.
So I guess, look, without turning it into some sort of sales brute, Jenny, which is certainly not what we do, I guess our core mission is building capability at the board and senior leader level in that next generation of leaders and directors. So our focus is really on the younger generation of board members and senior leaders coming through the ranks now. And they've got a very different view on what they want to see and what they want their organisations to be about. And our part in that is ultimately helping them build capability to make the best possible decisions in the interests of the organisation. And that's where aspects like helping them build whistleblower frameworks is where we contribute our sort of skills and service to society in that space.
And having strong ethics, young people coming through to know how important that is, I think that's a great thing that you're doing. Yeah, good on you, James. That's wonderful. Okay, well, I think we can all be responsible and play our part in this, and that's for sure. Thank you so much for explaining that, and please keep in touch if there's anything else. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Jenny. Much appreciated.
That's it. Thank you, James. James Ritchie.